snow on the roof does not mean there is no fire in the furnace. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher from Campo, California. Snow on the roof does not mean there is no fire in the furnace. And that is true. Years ago, snow on the roof meant that a person was getting older and senile and useless, and pretty soon the fire was out and they moved on to their next dimension. Now, today, it seems to be a change. People are getting snow on the roof in their 40s and their 50s, and they're living to be in their 90s and their 100s quite commonly. And as the years go on, they'll be living to their 110s and 120s and will be doing just wonderful. So it's a great thing how life changes. And we are experiencing all of these things very wonderfully and very beautifully. But snow on the roof does not mean there's no fire in the furnace. I have in my friendship many Europeans, many Swiss Europeans who live in the mountains, and many Midwesterners and Easterners who live in New York and Brooklyn, and who live in Milwaukee and Detroit, and who live in Colorado, where there is snow on the roof. Now, stop and think. Where there is snow on the roof, is there usually a fire in the furnace? If somebody's living there, it sure is. There is a fire in the furnace, keeping the inside of the house cozy and snug and warm, and life goes on as usual. In fact, life goes on very beautifully. People are harmonious and joyful and happy, and whenever you see stories of people living in cold climates, there's usually smoke coming out of the chimney, and there's usually happiness inside the house. Snow on the roof does not mean there's no fire in the furnace. We can start realizing that these common statements that were true many years ago are no longer true. In the days of Jesus, what happened? They lived to be 30 years old. And then kaput. They moved to their next dimensions. They lived in what you might call their best years, and then they cut out before they start getting diseases and start getting all sorts of things. Well, now, that's understandable, because in those days, they didn't have the attitude about good health that we have today. And you say the attitude about good health that we have today is because of good way of controlling our diets and good ways of controlling our hygiene and good ways of control. No, those have nothing to do with it. We say that they do, and we think that they do, but they don't. What has the habit of good control for us is our mental attitude of I like me, and I am happy, I am peaceful, I am content, and I like the world the way it is. Now, Ellen is in the process of having Rex sit down. And Rex is in the process of being full of life and enthusiasm. He leaps from one couch to the chair in a leaping bound. And why the chairs don't tip over, I don't really know. But he is 84 pounds of vitality, of energy, of enthusiasm, and all you have to do is just say, no, and quiet now. And then he quiets down, and he's very peaceful. But if you excite him, he says, oh boy, playtime, playtime. Then he gets going. Now, I have known many older dogs who are young all of their life, because they have playtime all of their life. All of their life they feel so happy and so joyous and so filled with goodness and power that they go on all the time being perfectly happy and wonderful. So where are you now on this level? Remember our code, our modus operandi, be yourself and have fun. Are you able to be yourself and have fun? Or are you so busy with making sure that everything is in order that you just cease to have the fun? You cease to have the joy. Now, we should greet every person who comes on the campus with the same innocence, and the same joy, and the same enthusiasm as we treat anyone else. Sometimes people come on the campus and they are people with great problems. And you say, oh my goodness sakes, how do we work with this? And then they come here and we find that the problems are not the people. The people are the joy, the spirit of their heart. We don't have to participate in anything they do. We just merely are a response to who we are. We are joy, we are peace, we are love, we are magnificence, and any person we look at, we see them exactly the same way, and we don't treat them any differently than we treat anybody else that we love with all our heart. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is the first sign of old age. This is the first sign of death, decay. When you cease to see your world as being yourself and having fun, when you cease seeing your world as a joyous thing. Irene Merkley sent us this little tidbit here that she picked up somewhere. Maybe she wrote it, but except that she doesn't have a farmhouse. And she writes about this man. And she says, I hired a plumber to help me restore an old farmhouse, and after he had finished a rough first day on the job, a flat tire made him lose an hour of work, and his electric drill quit, and his ancient one-ton truck refused to start. While I drove him home, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he briefly paused at a small tree, touching the tips of the branches with both hands. When opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tanned face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. Afterwards, he walked me to the car. We passed the tree, and my curiosity got the better of me. I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. Oh, that's my trouble tree, he replied. I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing's for sure. Those troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them on the tree every night when I come home and ask God to take care of them, and then in the morning I pick them up again. Funny thing is, he smiled, when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remembered hanging there the night before. You see, we can be totally in charge of our life. We don't have to have a life that's filled with expectations of anger and unhappiness. We come home and we have just had a rough day at the office or on the job or whatever it may be. And I think that's a smooth idea. We should have a little tree or something. I wouldn't be that unkind to a tree. But have some little stone outside of our house. And we reach down and touch that stone, lift it up, and put our troubles underneath it, and go into the house trouble-free, and greet our family with great love and great joy and great peace and great admiration. And you see, then we don't have to be subject to coming home with problems and sharing those problems with our family. We can be fantastic. We can be glorious. We can be happy. We can be ourselves and have fun. Now, if we start doing that, the snow on the roof won't make any difference. But the glow and the fire in our heart makes all the difference. Makes all the difference in the world. Now, why is it that we read stories about old people who live to be very old? Are those people usually rich? No. Are those people usually poor? No. Are those people just usually people? Yes. Do they have enough to eat? Basically. Do they have the amusements that they want? Basically. Do they like themselves? Totally. They like themselves, and they enjoy each day as it is even more wonderful. Somebody else sent me a little tidbit about a lady who was blind, and they were moving her to a rest home. And when they moved her into the rest home, they were describing to her where she's going to be living. She says, "Oh, I know all that. But how can you know it? You've never been here before." She says, "Because it is whatever I have in my heart." And she says, "I see this as a lovely room with the sunlight streaming in through the windows. I see this with the lovely curtains on the window, exactly the kind that make me so happy. I see each one of the chairs comfortable and wonderful. I see everything about the room ideal. And I see all of the people here in the rest home, harmonious, beautiful, joyful people, just like I am." And the nurse who was talking to her and hearing all this said, "You are one in a million." And she says, "Not really." She says, "If you were to ask anyone else this, and if they were able to articulate it as I did, because I've been thinking about it a long time, they would say the same thing. They would say, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's not a fire inside. Just because you're blind doesn't mean you don't see." And you see, this is what we do to ourselves. We take ourselves out of the ball game long before the game has even begun, because the game becomes more interesting as we work with obstacles and do not allow them to work with us. And we are the masters. And as we are always the master, as we are always in charge, then no limitation, no obstacle can ever stop us from achieving our highest good. Always be yourself and have fun. Always like yourself. Somebody sent me a little ball on the internet, and you have to go through a number of clickings and see advertising on mortgages and everything else, and you get to the ball, and then you click the cork on the ball, and the ball opens up. And in there, there's a little guy who has just been shot in there by electrical current. Boop! In, and there he is, you know, "Beam me up, Scotty," sort of thing. And so he stands up, and he looks at everybody. "Hi, everybody." He says, "I like me." He says, "I like me very much." He says, "And I like you. And I love you, but I like you. I like you, I like you, I like you." And he goes on with that for a few seconds. Charming, delightful. And we could each do that. We could each open up that ball that surrounds us, open up that shell that we have, and just go around beaming in the world saying, "I like me, I like me." People think we're, you know, off our rocker. People think we're crazy. People think we're stupid. People think, and then pretty soon, you know what happens? When there's a bandwagon, everyone wants to join it. When you are a happy person, everybody wants to be near you. When you like yourself, everybody wants to be around you. When you are content and peaceful and just wonderful, a cooing baby draws everybody. An argumentative little baby who wants to get things done and hollers and screams about it, the world shies away from that child. So we want to learn from our babies that the cooing baby gets all the attention. When you say, "I like me, I like me, I like me," people may not understand you, but they like it. We don't have to go by the old sayings, when there's snow on the roof, there may not be a fire inside. Well, be sure, when there's snow on the roof, there's got to be a fire inside to make it livable. And there is a fire inside because we build it with our joy, our enthusiasm, and all of the goodness that we are. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.